Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
Father, God, help us to lay down even just these areas, Lord, where maybe, God, your word has not had the effect on us that's meant to, Lord. But this is your word, Lord. This is the God of the universe, Lord, that we get a chance to hear from. And God, you want us to know you. You want us to see how beautiful you are, as Isaac said, Lord. And God, you want to transform us into your son's image. And so, Father, even now, Lord, as we hear your word, God, help us to have ears to hear, Lord, what you would have to say for us through the text and for us specifically. Lord, fill us again afresh with your spirit. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Lord, I'm weak, Lord, and I can't do anything apart from you. And so, Lord, I need your help, Lord, and I pray that you'd help me to preach and to teach in a way that just makes you beautiful. And Lord, that, again, just shares your character. And Lord, that would transform both my heart and ours. So Lord, we thank you, and we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So have you guys ever felt like you just didn't measure up? Yeah, I'm going to say I have. For me, his name was George. Many years ago, I had one of my first jobs was at Vans Skate Park at the block. And it was a place at the and time, it was about 12 years ago or so, but at that place and time, it was like the cool place to be. Like, everybody would want to be there. It was packed out. I used to be really into skateboarding, so I loved being there. But in my own estimation of myself at the time, I thought it was pretty cool. That was until he came, right? Everything that I was at the time, he was more. He was like Chase 2.0, right? I had long hair back then. He had better hair, right? Yeah, I was kind of like working out that time. Man, he was buffer, right? He was taller than me. He was funnier than me. He was better looking than me. He was like really nice too. I'm like, man, this guy's even nicer than me. I'm like, man, what is going on? But I don't know if you guys have ever seen Terminator 2, but this is probably even before some of you guys were even born. But Terminator 2, you have the original Terminator and then the Terminator before that. The original Terminator, and then the Terminator that came in was, like, so much better. That's exactly how I felt with George. I was like, man, this guy is better than me, right? And maybe you guys have had a George in your life. You know, all of us have seen someone do something that we do better than we do, right? Whether it's our jobs, whether it's our schools, whether it's music, whether it's sports, even the Christian walk, I've seen people, and I'm like, man, I want to love Jesus like this person, right? Maybe it's someone that's better looking. Maybe it's someone that's more in shape. Or the girl you see wearing the same dress and she pulls it off better. You're like, man, how did she pull it off like that? If you're a girl, that's only if you're a girl, right? But contrastly, we also see other times where there's others who are not quite as good as us in those things, right? And what is going on is something called comparison. To compare is basically to look at two or more things closely in order to see what is similar or different about them, or in order to decide which is better. So basically, it's looking at two things and trying to figure out which one of these two is better. No matter who you are, all of us have felt compared before. And all of us have compared ourselves to someone else as well. This is because comparison is deeply ingrained inside of our culture. It's a part of what we do all the time, right? But I would say that the root of it actually reaches a lot deeper inside of our hearts. But the question is that a good thing? Is it bad? What can we actually do about it? And is it even possible to live outside its influence? So today, as we look at our passage in 2 Corinthians, we're going to look into three points of application. They're going to be everybody compares, the problem of comparison, and then living outside the power of comparison. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you guys are all there, look up. Cool. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. According to a recent study, there are 7 people worldwide, and over 2 billion of them use social media. So that means that most of you guys, if not all of you guys, have some sort of social media, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, Snapchat. All of us have been maybe on social media or know someone who is on it, right? And maybe you guys were thinking in the examples that I gave earlier that, hey, I don't really feel like that. I don't compare myself so much to other people, right? Maybe you didn't fit in those categories. But if you guys have ever spent any time on social media before, you know that you cannot help but compare yourself to someone else or someone else's life, right? You're like, man, look at that vacation that they're going on. Like, we should be going to Hawaii too, right? Or, man, that person, they take the greatest pictures, right? And we look at it like that, but we are constantly comparing when we're on there. But I'm not going to just put a bad note on social media. Studies have shown that comparison is almost unavoidable inside of our lives. If you're anything like me, you cannot help but look at someone or talk to someone and start comparing. It's so bad, I even do it to myself. I'll look at a picture of myself like 10 years ago. I'm like, man, like, I was pretty ripped back then. And then, like, I'll look at myself now, and I'm like, dang, the only thing that's ripped on me is my pants now, like, sometimes, right? But I'm like, what is going on, right? So if you're taking notes, write this down. Everybody compares. Now, as we get into the text, we're going to see that not only does this comparison thing happen now, this happened even 2,000 years ago. And it wasn't just to average people like us, but even to the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And as we continue, we see actually what he does with it. And that's the greatest part of it. So starting in verse 7, Paul says, look at the obvious facts. Those who say they belong to Christ must recognize that we belong to Christ as much as they do. I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given to us by the Lord, but our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of using my authority. So just to set this up, at the time that this was written, the Apostle Paul had an interesting relationship with the church in Corinth. God had sent him to Corinth to start a church, and it was awesome, right? The people were loving Jesus. They were coming to know him, and then they kind of start going a little bit wild. And Paul corrects them. And so most of the church, they hear what Paul says, and they actually repent. But there's some who still refuse to do this, and that's exactly who Paul is writing to specifically here. To top all of it off, there were also false teachers moving in on Paul's territory, trying to spread a false teaching. So in order to gain momentum, these false teachers were beginning to spread doubt and lies about Paul and his apostleship. So in this chapter, Paul is dealing with criticisms both from within and from outside, right? From those who are unwilling to repent, and definitely from the false teachers. Verse 9, it says, I'm not trying to frighten you by my letters. For some say Paul's letters are demanding and forceful, but in person he is weak, and his speeches are worthless. Those people should realize that our actions when we arrive in person will be as forceful as what we say in our letters from afar. A lot of the people in the church were saying that, you know, Paul's only bold when he's far away, right? His letters are powerful, but he can't really back it up. He's only saying that because basically he's hiding behind someone, right? And maybe you guys have known someone like that before. I remember experiencing that inside social media, right? Again, people texting you something or maybe sending you a message. And then when you see them in person, they act really awkward, like, hey, I don't know you. Or they act like, basically like they didn't say that or whatever, right? They're bold from afar, but not really in real life. But if you look anywhere inside the book of Acts, you see that that was not the Apostle Paul. You see Paul, who is willing to speak in front of governors, in front of eventually the Caesar at that time. He was willing to confront people who were demon-possessed. He was willing to, man, be inside a jail and deal with the Roman jailers and all these different things. He wasn't afraid to actually be bold in real life. And there's a valuable lesson that we can learn from that. And it's this, that the words that we say only carry as much weight as the life that actually backs it up. If we're saying something that we're about something and our lives are not backing it up, we're not really about that. And no one wants to hear that. But again, for Paul, this was not him. Verse 12, it says, oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they're only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. How ignorant. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Paul's opponents were trying to destroy his credibility with the people there. And they attempted this by spreading lies, but also we're going to see they tried doing this through comparison. And that's where it brings us back to what I was talking about at the beginning. Through 2 Corinthians, you kind of learn that these guys actually brought with them letters of commendation. It tells us inside, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that these guys brought letters of commendation just saying how great they were or basically how much backing that they had, right? They were probably good speakers. We learn that in the next chapter. They were somewhat impressive probably to be able to deceive all that they did. And they said basically, if you're an apostle, he's on the bottom. He might be one, but maybe he's all the way down here. All he does all the time is suffer, right? He isn't victorious. He can't speak well. He's not that impressive. And maybe they also pointed out the fact that he might have been short, which brings me a lot of great joy because I'm like, all right, cool. Like, Paul, all right, me and you, buddies, nice, right? But rather than comparing himself back in self-promotion, trying to compare himself back, Paul finds his defense somewhere else. He tells them that the fact that they're comparing each other with each other, that's ignorant. Why? It's because it's the wrong standard. About a month ago, I worked for Trader Joe's, and I was inside our cold area, and I was facing the wall. I was stocking some different things, and I hear, basically, it's to set it up, I'm working a milk box, so I'm behind. If you guys ever grab milks, I was behind that. I could kind of see outside, so just in case you're grabbing milk, watch out. There could be someone watching you, but I was facing up all those milks, and I seen someone shopping right there, and I just hear, like, hey, what's up, Chase? And so I'm, like, talking to this person right here, too, for, like, a minute. I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, I can't usually see people anyway, so I'm like, hey, what's up? How are you doing? And I didn't know who it was, and I realized, like, after a minute that the person that I was talking to was not really talking to me. It was actually the person behind me inside that room, and so I was talking for, like, a minute, and they're like, what are you doing, right? And it's kind of, I was starting at the wrong place. And in the same way, these guys were starting at the wrong place. So if you guys have a pen, again, write this down. The problem with comparison. Guys, the problem with comparison is when we compare ourselves to each other, there's a lot of problems that come with it. Firstly, our comparison usually leads us either toward pride or envy, right? When we're better than someone at something, right? We're like, man, I am better than that person. And we start feeling it inside. We start getting prideful and thinking that we are greater than we truly are, right? But when someone's better than us, then we're like, man, I wish I was better or like that person, right? And so it leads us to these two sinful areas of our heart where we either get prideful or we can get envious. But secondly, Theodore Roosevelt once said this. He said, comparison is a thief to joy. That comparison actually robs you of your joy because as you're looking at that and you're feeling, whether you're feeling higher or lower, you're not able to enjoy what you're meant to. At the heart of our comparison, guys, it's usually something deeper connected to our worth. And that's why it's such a thief to joy, is because our comparison is not usually just about what is skin deep. It's usually connected to something deeper. When we feel better or worse than someone, we actually feel more valuable or less valuable. And that's kind of where the heart of it is. Comparison also keeps us from having the relationships we're meant to have. Because envy or pride actually keeps us from being real, right? We don't want to be seen as less. We don't want to be seen as something that we're not, or we don't want to be seen in the wrong light by someone. So we actually won't be real. And if you're not real, you can't have a real relationship. So comparison can easily get in the way of that. But I would say one of the biggest missteps in comparison, like we see with the false teachers, is that they started comparing in the wrong place. And we all have a natural tendency to do the same thing, to compare ourselves with ourselves. But the only true standard is Christ. And this is where we are meant to start. See, the Bible tells us that actually we're not that great. Inside Romans, it tells us that all of us have sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, that we've all messed up, right? And in fact, when Jesus came to die for our sins, it's because we were sinners and we were in need. And so because of that, the gospel wasn't because he saved us because we were great. He saved us because he's great, and it was in spite of us. But here's the great thing is that this God who did this, who took on the wrath, the shame, the guilt that we should have, the amazing thing is that He also is a God who loves us. And so because of that, this is our true standard. We don't have to think of ourselves as too low. We don't have to think of ourselves as too high. Man, we are messed up, but yet we are loved by God. Inside 1 John chapter 3, it says, what great love is this, that we shall be called children of God. He's saying, man, this is the highest thing. Can you be called anything higher? Man, it was an amazing thing to be called husband or to be called father. Those are amazing things. When you say those words, it's something awesome. But to be called child of God, man, that's something so much greater. That's something that we cannot touch anywhere else. It doesn't matter if you're the president. It doesn't matter if you are CEO. I don't care. There is not a higher name for us as human beings than God's son or daughter. But if this is the problem, if we constantly are comparing, if we take these missteps comparing, then how do we live outside the power of it? And I'm going to say that we can recognize or we can learn to live above or outside of comparison, again, when we recognize who we are. That can sound like a bunch of new age mumbo jumbo, right? Which is not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that if you want to find out who you are, then look inside yourself. Or I'm not saying if you want to find out who you are, then look at how great of a champion you are. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, again, if you are a son or daughter of the King, then again, you don't have to worry whether you're better than someone or worse than someone. You don't have to worry about whether they're greater or you're not. Paul says inside 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, you know, it's not about he that waters, it's not about he that plants, but it's about he that gives the increase. It's not about Apollos, it's not about Paul, it's not about Peter, it's not about Chase, it's not about Isaac, it's not about Bill, it's about Jesus. And that's what he's talking about. That the fact that when we have been saved, we are called his children. Verse 13, it says, we will not boast about things done outside of our area of authority. We will boast only about what has happened within the boundaries of the work God has given us, which includes our working with you. We are not reached beyond these boundaries when we claim authority over you, as if we have never visited you. For we were the first to travel all the way to Corinth with the good news of Christ. Paul was the one that started the church there. He was basically like a father to them, right? They didn't always treat him that way, but that's the way he was to them. And he wasn't falsely humble. He wasn't like, hey, you know, like when someone says like, man, that was awesome when you did that. And you're like, no, it wasn't. And you're like, come on. No, it wasn't, right? That's not what he was doing. He was recognizing what God had done. He was recognizing the fact that God had given him authority there. But he recognized that it wasn't of him. It was because of God. It was because of his glory. And that's really the only thing that empowered him. That really is the only thing that, again, should be in it for us as Christians. Verse 15, it says, nor do we boast and claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. Then we will be able to go and preach the good news in other places far beyond you where no one else is working. Then there will be no question of our boasting about the work which is done in someone else's territory. As the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. I love what he says there. Because he recognizes, man, if you're going to boast about any of this stuff, I can really only boast about Jesus. Inside 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about how weak he is. But he says, I am weak. I am messed up. But the cool thing is I can say those things because God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. And he's saying, man, if there is anything to boast about, it's to boast about the Lord. So he recognized here that none of this was from himself, but it was only a gift of God. And so I want to encourage you guys, if you guys have giftings, if you guys do things well, know that that's a gift from God. Romans chapter 12, it says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Do not think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so does with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness, do it to others gladly. Here's the thing that we hear often. We hear this and we're like, yes, I have gifts. I'm going to use it. Man, I'm going to be seen as awesome, right? But we miss out the fact that he says, man, if God has given you this grace, grace is unmerited favor. It's not something that you deserve. It's not something that you earn. It's not something that you naturally have. It's something that is a gift given to you by God. And grace is an equalizer. It puts us all on the same playing field. It says, man, all of us are in need of Jesus. And if there's anything good about all of us, it's really a response back to Jesus. And that's why we even called the Young Adults Ministry response. We're saying that, you know what? It's not about anything great we can do. It's about the great thing that's been done in Jesus. And anything that we now do is only a response back to that. We love only because he first loved us, right? So again, whether it's your giftings, whether it's ministry, whether it's, again, where you work, whatever you do, man, all these things are gifts of grace. Our salvation, it's a gift of grace. And it's in spite of us. And because of that, we can only boast in the Lord. Verse 18, it says, when people commend themselves, it doesn't count for much. The important thing is for the Lord to commend them. Paul is saying, if you're the one that's boasting and saying, man, look at what we're doing here. Look how great of an apostle we are. Look how, it doesn't really count for much. The important thing is that the Lord commends it, right? It wouldn't matter if I said, man, I am the best dancer alive, right? And I really believed it, man. And then I showed you guys my moves and it was like just something really crazy. And you guys are like, man, he's not the best dancer alive, right? You're like, man, what are you, you're just saying that about yourself. But then if someone got behind me, like, let's say like Simon from American Idol or from X Factor, and he's like, man, he's really the best dancer. Then you're like, man, maybe I'm missing something, right? Because that actually would mean something. It would matter a lot more if someone credible said it. But even then, their opinion might change. But here's the amazing thing, guys, is one of the things that the Bible tells us about God is it says that he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if that's true, it means that the things that he's said stays the same as well. It says that the word of the Lord endures forever. Where the grass withers, where the flowers may fade, his word stands forever. And that does not change. So what he said about you guys, what he said about us, the fact that we are his children, the fact that we are his sons and his daughters, that does not change. And that we can take heart. We don't have to live inside the boundaries of people's comparison. We don't have to compare ourselves for worth, for, again, just this desire to feel valuable. But he's already saying, man, you guys already are valuable. So live that. Live outside of that. Paul is saying his commendation, his approval was from God himself. That Paul was set apart by God for himself. This is where Paul found his worth. The fact of who he was inside of Christ. Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel, said, it doesn't matter what I think of me. What matters is what God does. It doesn't matter what I say about me. It's what God does. Man, if you're like me, I need to hear those words. Because inside of me, there is constantly a struggle. There's constantly a battle for desiring worth, desiring value, desiring to be seen in a certain way, to desiring to be commended by other people. But he's saying, man, we don't have to be that. Did you guys know that inside Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says that you are the salt, you are the light of the world? He's not saying try to be those things. He's saying you already are those things. But the question is, man, are we really living like that's true? And I would say, guys, that starts here. It starts where we start living differently. We're no longer comparing. We're not trying to figure out our own glory, who's the most important. We're saying that Jesus is the most important for us. Man, when Isaac does well here and he shares and he preaches and he preaches the gospel, when we were there on Friday, I'm like, man, that's my brother and it's awesome what he's doing because, man, praise God, people are coming to Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about who's better. It's about Jesus being glorified. So why does this matter for us? Why does this matter? Why is it even important to God? Why is it important that we would spend a whole 30 minutes or 35 minutes talking about this. Guys, when we spend our lives comparing, when we start trying to find worth or value or trying to figure out who's the better or thinking about this even inside of our minds, we waste time and we're not focused. We're missing the point on what all that's all about. Again, it's about Jesus. And when we're comparing and trying to figure out who's better or worse, we're missing out that it's neither, it's Jesus. Secondly, the other reason why this is so important is because the way we work together shows that the message that we're declaring is true. Jesus inside John chapter 17 says, you know what, I pray that you guys would be one in the same way that me and the Father are one. Paraphrasing now, he's saying that basically you guys are be one in the same way that we are one. And in this is going to show that the message that he was proclaiming is true. And so when we do this, when we live in this way, it proves the point that, man, there's something different about us. There's something different that we're living for. And we have this chance, guys. It doesn't matter what your vocation is. It doesn't matter where you go to school. We have this chance to live for something more. All of us want to become part of something bigger. You have the chance to live for something more. You can live for what you're made for the glory of God. So I want to challenge you guys to live above comparison. Again, I've been challenging myself even throughout this week, and I've not always been doing well in it this week. But by God's grace, I want to keep growing in it. And again, reminding myself of that truth. Not being conformed, but being transformed by the renewing of my mind. And again, I encourage you guys to do the same. Let's pray. Father, God, Lord, thank you for the work that you've done for us on the cross. Lord, that's the reason why we're here. God, that's the reason why, God, any of us can, God, can call ourselves your children. It's not because we're good. It's not because we're great or anything that we did. Lord, it really is about what you have done. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Lord, help us to walk as those who have been made new. Lord, let us not walk and sucked into the way that everybody else does life, Lord. But God, we want to live to build the kingdom of God here. And so, Lord, help us to build the kingdom of God both in our spheres of influence and here in Huntington Beach, Lord. Lead us, Lord, in just our families and our households, Lord, individually, God, in our hearts. God, we need your transforming work. God, thank you for saving us. Lord, thank you for your grace. God, and we pray that you would continue that work that you first started within us, even tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds. This is the day that life